Cascade Hoops Talk, bringing the world NAIA basketball one podcast at a time. Good morning, Cascade Hoops Talk. Billy D here. Hey, today we're going to have Coach Scott Moore, Grace College Lancers. He's in his beginning his fourth season there. Over the last 3 years, they've won 66 games under Coach Moore. Last season, they went to the Sweet 16. We're going to talk about that. He just had a great run in his first 3 years. He was Crossroads League Coach of the Year his first season, and Coach Moore was named the NCCAA National Coach of the Year last season, and Frankie Davidson was the Player of the Year in the NCCAA. So we're going to talk about Grace College Lancer basketball. Coach Moore's great friend of this program. His program is projected to be very tough this season, so why don't we just give a listen to Coach Scott Moore, Grace College. Cascade Hoops Talk, Billy D. Hey, I got Scott Moore. He's head men's basketball coach at Grace Lancers. Scott, good to talk to you again. How you doing?
My man, I'm good. How are you? Basketball's here.
Yeah, it's October, man.
It's I don't know what the weather's like out west, but it's starting to get those chilly mornings, and it gets a little bit past 70 in the afternoon. So it's you can tell fall's here, which means winter's around the corner.
You know, Coach, you're beginning your fourth season. You've won 66 games in your first 3 years, say that fast three times. But you've had some great success. You were Crossroad League Coach of the Year, your rookie year as a coach. And you've just had the Lancers playing great basketball, got to the 16, round of 16 last season. You know, just talk about, you know, you take over for a legend there, you know, everybody's like, okay, what's going to happen here? And, you know, you've been able to really keep the program on track and just kind of zoom along.
Yeah. You know, people ask a lot about, you know, is it difficult taking over for a legend? And obviously Coach K was so prominently known throughout the country. But to be honest with you, it wasn't. It wasn't because I wasn't trying to be coach. And I know that you had Coach Parnell on the other day, and same thing you could say about Danny Miles. It's like, mm-hmm. If Justin and I were coming on and we're trying to be exactly who those two guys are, like, we're not going to be successful, right? So the best thing that I had coming here is, you know, I was a Grace guy, and I was able to take over a program that I was already a part of and invested in. And anytime I have a recruit sit in my office with you know, my assistant coaches, what's neat is I'm selling something that I believe in. And we have that opportunity here that it's been a really good place for me and my family. It's an awesome, obviously an awesome facility. I've got great support. My athletic director is phenomenal. We got a new president. Again, our old president was phenomenal. Our new president's great, just super supportive, and just really lucky. You know, you said it early, I've won 66, I think you said 66 games my first 3 years. And to be honest, Billy, I didn't win any of them. And I think that's, you know, you can say that, but I truly believe that. Like, I had a bunch of dudes come along that have put in the work and have been really successful, and I've been able to be a part of them winning, you know, all those games. And it's really neat just to see their success and whatnot.
Yeah, well said, Coach. You know, in that vein, I want to talk about those guys. We're going to talk about those guys in a minute. I want to touch on last season a little bit. But you have, I think, one of the best staffs in the NAI. You know, you just kind of talk your way through your assistants and your staff. I think it's top notch. I've had the opportunity to come out and spend some time with you and your staff, and they are. You talk about them being Grace guys and top quality guys. I mean, you have that.
Yeah, it's huge, right? I think the first thing that I wanted to do when I got the job was, man, I got to find guys that I could surround myself that will make me better. And I think what we wanted to do, Billy, was we never wanted this to seem like a job where we came into work every single day and just kind of was like, okay, you know, I got to go to work today. And I think part of that was, man, I wanted to live life with these guys, and I wanted to have this be enjoyable, not only just coming to work and being with my boys, but also
with those guys, right? So I went out and I talked with Jordan, you know, previously. He was obviously a phenomenal player, was in our league, and had an opportunity to get him and his wife Taylor, and just, you know, very similar ages. They're a little bit younger than me, but just kind of a cool, he had a very similar kind of career and just experience in the Crossroads League that Marcus and I had. And then Coach Halstead then obviously came along. It was an opportunity to coach him, and he became our GA, and then we were able to hire him on as an assistant as well. So, like, the best part about having them as a staff, not only are they basketball minds, not only are they really, really good, but, like, they're just fun to be around, man. They're just energy givers. And, you know, I'm not a huge golfer, but, like, there's often times where we'll just say, hey, let's go play nine and talk hoops and talk faith and, like, things like that, right? Or let's go on the lake and let's get out there, take a walk, or let's go eat lunch. And so it's been so fun kind of do this with them side by side, in what we call a job, just to really feel like a job.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time to talk about that, because I think that's one of your huge strengths is your camaraderie and your staff back there. I think you do a great job. You know, Coach, I mentioned a moment ago, you had a great season last year. You got to that round of 16, fell to College Idaho. I want to touch on that game just a little bit, but the run to the national tournament was one of the most phenomenal things people have ever seen. You had to play three games on the road. You went to Mount Vernon, who was very good. You beat them, Mount Vernon Nazarene, and then you had to go up to Indiana Wesleyan, and everybody there, they were ranked number 7 in the country at the time, and then you had to go down to Indy, and you beat Marion down there. I mean, what a run to that Crossroads League title.
Yeah, it was – you always want to peak, right? You always want to try to play your best basketball in February and March, and that's kind of one thing we try to keep preaching. And we had a great start to this season, obviously. But, like, you take a look at your schedule, and that's what this league does. And I know there's a lot of leagues out there as well that experience very similar things. But, like, there was a stretch there where – if out of 5 games, 4 out of the 5 games were on the road against top, you know, 30 teams in the country. And it's like, well, yeah, you can be really good, but, like, you can lose all those games. You know, you can be a great team and actually finish below 500 in the Crossroads League. So we knew that it wasn't going to just be smooth sailing through the whole season. So part of that is not saying that you want to lose games, but it was good for us to kind of figure out, hey, who are we? We were really young. We were really inexperienced in a lot of positions. So to have some of that adversity through January, and then to get to the point where, okay, we were healthy, we kind of had some roles figured out, you know, guys kind of figured out what they were supposed to be giving, what they were supposed to let other guys do, kind of get that gel back together a little bit. And, you know, we went in the tournament just like, hey, look, don't be afraid of winning or losing. The scoreboard's a product of what we're trying to do. And let's focus on all the things that we can control. And we did. We went to Mount Vernon, and I thought we were in a really good place at the time. Played really, really well on the road, which is not an easy place to go play. And then, you know, obviously we turned around. And the thing that I don't even know if a lot of people know this, I actually didn't even go to the Wesleyan game. I got sick. I've been battling some kidney stones, and I woke up halfway through the night and just had an episode. And I remember texting Steve and Jordan, and I had to go to the ER. My dad took me to the emergency room. It was one of the worst ones that I'd had. And I remember just saying, hey, like, you know, the program is bigger than me. It's bigger than any one individual. Like, you don't need me to be successful. Like I said, the work has been done. You just got to go play. And I missed the whole game. I didn't see it. I was out. I woke up to about 100 text messages. So I was like, well, something must have happened. We obviously played well. So, you know, Jordan called me afterwards, and those guys just got it done, right? Like,
yeah.
Again, that's not me. That's them going to work, putting their hat on, and just doing their job. And then, you know, the Marion game was fun. That's a hard place to go play as well. And they were playing really well. Christian Stewart was just rolling at the time, just a phenomenal guard. And our guys just made enough plays And then to just go on to Olivet and to have those two games, you know, played a really good Mid-South team in Cumberland's, and then to turn around and have to play, you know, a 31-win team against who I think, honestly, one of the best offensive players in the country at our level, man, Alex Gross is just goodness gracious. And they just – Berkey just does such a great job with that team. They're so hard to guard. I mean, they punched us in the mouth, and, you know, we're going into halftime down 14 or 15. Just like, hey, you, like, welcome. You better wake up. Like, this is another challenge for us. We just came out and just, I think we changed the game a little bit defensively, and Elijah came alive a little bit there in the second half. And just a fun atmosphere to be a part of, and a fun game just to honestly be a spectator. And obviously, then getting out to Kansas City and experiencing that was just a good kind of taste for those guys to hopefully want to return.
Yeah, that was I marked that down here. My notes in front of me. That was a marquee win. You know, Alex Gross. A lot of people don't realize. You know, everybody knows he was a huge rebounder, huge scorer. He was one of the top assist guys in the country. He's 7 foot tall.
Yeah, well, offensively, they're just so hard to guard because they cut with purpose on every possession. So they play through Alex, and he, like you said, he draws such a lot of attention inside the post and mid-post area. And then those guys, you know, Tyler Schmidt and those guys just cut so hard off the ball that he's just such a phenomenal passer.
Yeah, he's a great passer.
It's a really hard team. You can see why they've had the success they've had while he's been there in that league because, you know, you turn around, it's not easy to win, like, you know, it's 50% of your games in conference play. And here they are in the CCAC against some really good teams. You know, they're winning every game but one or two maybe a year. And it's just been impressive to see what they've been able to do.
As you said, Coach Berkey has really done a great job there. He's a great, great guy, too.
Yeah, and another one, you know, like me and Justin, he's following Ralph there that, you know, unfortunately passed away a few years ago. Ralph was one of the premier coaches in all of NAIA basketball across the country. He'd been there for a long time and just had been extremely successful. I know the world lost a pretty good man when he passed away.
You know, you get to Kansas City, which is a great accomplishment. You're facing College Idaho, and they really peaked at – you talked about peaking at the right time. They really peaked towards the end of the season. I thought you were two similar teams. They ended up out rebounding you uncharacteristically for the Lancers to get out rebound. I thought College Idaho played really well, and you met a guy that I watched just terrorize the Cascade Conference. Jake O'Neill. He pulled down 11 rebounds on you. I thought they had a really good game plan against you.
Yeah, well, what they do is they're going to do them what they do, and they're not going to switch it up, right? I think that's the one thing I respect so much about College of Idaho and Coach Blaine is, like, you know what they're going to do. They're going to play their zone. They're going to match up man once the ball gets to the middle. They're going to try to slow down the tempo of the game. And they're not gonna change. You know, if you start to figure out, we had a good game plan going in, and it is hard for us because, you know, we see zero teams that will do that in conference play, and you just don't see a lot of that in the Midwest in general. So, you know, to have to prepare for that in 10 days or less, and then, you know, he's got good players, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing is they were young too. They had a lot of good, but they have some dudes. I mean, the freshman kid they had, the Wyman kid, is just tough as nails. They had that the oversized or undersized post player that came in. I think it was Ivory Williams, maybe. Mm-hmm. He's just a meatball, man, just doing the dirty work. And it just – Colby did a great job of just kind of withstanding. We tied it, I think, at 48. You know, we had a little bit momentum. And then, unfortunately, just in that tournament play, you know, we missed too many free throws and turned the ball over just a few many times. And at that level, at that point in your season, like, you know, those things will cost you. They'll cost you a game. And you can get away with that sometimes. And I just thought, I think we shot maybe 50% or 52% or something from the free throw line and just had a few too many turnovers that, you know, you got to value those possessions because you're just not going to get them back.
Yeah, I thought it was a good game, a good matchup. Nothing to hang your head about. You got to that round of 16. You know, anything can happen in one game. You know, when you look at your success, let's look at particularly last season, but this is your kind of your MO. You know, you're going to win kind of the old-fashioned way. You know, last season you held teams to 40%, 41% shooting. You out-rebound teams by at least about eight a game, and then you really take good care of the ball. Share the ball, 17 assists a game. You know, just talk about your philosophy, you know, what's your basketball philosophy?
Yeah, it's, you know what, it's not too difficult. It's not too, sometimes you can watch us play, and I think, yeah, I had a lot of coaches ask, hey, how do you do things and how do you do this? It's, you know, analytics is so big in the game of basketball now and other sports, but it's like, you know, I just want to do simple really, really well. And I think sometimes we can just overdo. And I'm one of the worst, man. I make fun of all those, you know, trainers and just random people that are having all these kids do 50 billion moves. And all. It's like, at the end of the day, you got to take that circle and you got to stick it through that circle. And there's ways to go about it. But our philosophy is not secretive. You can see it just by looking at our roster. I like big, physical, long, athletic, you know, interchangeable players.
Yeah.
Obviously, the shoot, pass, and dribble thing, you know, to have an IQ is important. I like guys that can play basketball, that know how to play, that don't need just to be scripted all the time, right? And that comes with recruiting. Like, I think recruiting from programs, kids that come from really good programs, really good high school coaches, that's one benefit we have here. Again, not saying that it's not in other states, but in Indiana, we just have so many really good high school basketball coaches that, you know, you got some dudes here that just are so good at the X's and O's and the fundamentals of the game that when you get those kids, man, you don't have to teach them a whole lot of things. Like, they know how to make those entry post passes. They know how to pivot and turn and play off 2 feet. And those are just little additions, I think, that help us be successful. And the other thing was, I think this was just more of my playing style. You know, I was never the best player on my team ever. I was a point guard. I loved winning. And anything I could do to win a basketball game, I could care less if I scored 2 points, 20 points. And I scored two a lot more than I scored 20. But I wanted to do whatever I could to win. And I loved when my team became successful. I was never big into individual success. And I've tried to preach that to our guys. Like, you do realize that, you know, every team in the country has a guy that leads them in scoring. So every team out of the 250 or whatever teams has a guy that averages 15 to 17. But to be honest with you, nobody really cares about the guy who averages 17 and you just lose a bunch of games. And I know that's
exactly,
you take that the wrong way. But like, what I'm trying to teach them is your team's success and each other's success will breed your individual success. And I wanted to have a team that if you want to take away option A, B, and C, that's okay, because D, E, F, those dudes can all score 20 as well. And I think we have that. Like, obviously everyone talks about Frankie and everybody talks about Elijah. He's kind of a unicorn, but like, Jake Wadding is a phenomenal basketball player, and the twins are phenomenal. And, you know, Carter Stoltzfus and Eddie Gill just show up every single day and just give it to our guys, man. And, you know, Ian Scott, I mean, remember his name, the kid's going to be an All-American. The difference is he's just playing behind some really, really good guys right now. So the people outside of, you know, us in practice, you're going to get to see that every day. So that's our philosophy, is we want to share the basketball. We want to be really difficult to guard. And then we want to get our guys in positions where they can go make basketball plays and just simplify. Just simplify the game, rebound, play hard. And if you can do that, like I said, the scoreboard often will take care of itself.
You know, you mentioned Frankie. We have to make sure everybody understands that he was the NCCAA player of the year last year. Frankie Davidson, a guy who very early in the season, a lot of people are talking about a player of the year candidate. I know you don't want to get caught up in that, Scott, but I'll leave that out there. You know, he 18.6 rebounds. The man, the look on his face never changes. You can't tell if he just made a good play or just turned the ball over. He just goes out there and he just gets it done. He's really fun to watch.
Well, Frankie's Frankie's good for me. Like, I think every player has certain coaches I think they can thrive under, and every coach has players that, you know, that's the good and bad part of recruiting, is we make mistakes a lot, right? Like, it's not easy just to put together a very successful basketball team of guys that you maybe spend 6 months prior to getting to know. And Frankie's demeanor, it fits my coaching style. I mean, Frankie is, he's just a quiet storm, man. Like, he's a paperboy assassin. He won't say three words and you look up and he'll have 35. And yep. He's one of the most athletic kids, but he just, you know, it looks like he's not playing hard at sometimes, but he is. He just,
that's Frankie. He just makes things look really easy. And the best thing for Frankie is he has a ton of dudes around him that make his job way easier. And he'll tell you that. Like, you know, Bryson Graber makes Frankie Davidson's job so much easier. And same thing with the twins and Wad and Elijah. You know, if you get a lot of – they got to double team Elijah. They're not going to double team Frank on the perimeter. So it opens up a lot of opportunities for him to go make plays. And he's been phenomenal.
You mentioned a couple of guys who are – you have everybody back. But there's a couple of guys that really caught my eye last season. You just mentioned Jake Wadding a couple times. I've said 100 million times he has an unbelievable court presence. I mean, when he walks on the court, he just, like, he owns it and he plays like it. And then Ian Scott, high motor, super athletic, cat quick, but he's 6'7", 6'8", something like that. I mean, he's just got a unique set of skills, doesn't he?
He just plays hard. He's an energizer bunny. He goes. He competes. What I like about Ian is he's the toughest on himself too. So he's very, very quick to take ownership and to take blame for something that, honestly, some things are not his fault. A guy will make a bad pass or a guy will make a play, and very easily Ian can point fingers, and he's always taking the blame and taking it like, hey, I could have done this better to make that play successful. And that's just a kid that is just, you know, he's not a kid. He's grown up, and that's a maturity thing at only, you know, 18, 19 years old as a sophomore in college. That's pretty rare. Yeah. So really good player, a great compliment to Elijah. So different in the way they play. But two guys that, man, we could even play on the floor at the same time, you know, at 6'7", and then 6'10", creates a lot of mismatch problems.
I think one of the, and I'm sure you'll agree with me on this, I think one of the most beautiful NAI athletic facility, basketball facilities in the country is your Manahan Orthopedic Capital Center, where you play basketball. I mean, how did you pull it? That place is unbelievable.
Yeah, they did it right. You know, it was 2007, so it's been a while, right? It's been 15 years here that the gym's been open, and they keep it pristine. It's a great place to watch a basketball game. You know, it's a sunken arena, so when you come in at the upper deck, and it's kind of a horseshoe bowl. So there's not a single bad seat. It looks massive. I mean, but the seats make it smaller. I think there's probably 1,800 seats or something like that total before you start adding in extra seating. But it's just, it's comfortable. It's loud. It's a great place to watch college basketball. And it is, you know, I am biased a little bit, but I played at a lot of places across the country. And it is, every time I walk in this gym, you're just like, man, you got to be kidding me. I can't believe we play here. I can't believe I get a coach on the sideline every single night. And it's pretty special.
And for the fans, every chair in the place is a tilt down like theater chair. Every chair. Unbelievable. It is. Anyway, it's a beautiful play. You're really lucky to have that place to play. It's got to be an amazing recruiting tool.
It doesn't hurt. That in the lake does not hurt, let me tell you.
And then in that amazing facility is going to be some great basketball. You're going to play. You kick off with Michigan Dearborn. I think Michigan Dearborn and St. X are at home. You have to go up to Governor State on the road. That's no gimme. And then we're going to play that Crossroads Cascade Challenge. You've got a couple teams coming out from Oregon. There's going to be some great basketball in there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. That, and thanks to you. I mean, I know we had a kind of a dream a couple years ago about, man, could we make this happen? And that, it came together so quickly. And so with Oregon Tech and Bushnell coming over to Indiana and playing, you know, Grace and Bethel, and then us turning around and heading to Klamath Falls the next year, going out to Oregon. It's just, that is so cool. And to have it kind of, I mean, because of you, because of Cascades Hoop Talk, I mean, we kind of got that thing going. So I'm just super excited. The non-conference has become a little bit more strategic now. And so playing, you know, you talk to any coach now, that RPI and that strength of schedule, like, that's a big deal. And for us, it was always difficult because you get into conference play, and oftentimes in the Crossroads, you're going to have five teams rank. So out of your 18 games, you could be playing anywhere from, I mean, honestly, 8, 9, 10 games against currently ranked teams. And so in non-conference, you just try to get, you know, you try to get your 10 to 12 wins And then that would give you an opportunity then to be successful. And once you got to the tournament, you'd have enough firepower in your conference play to make a run. But now, you know, being in Kansas City, there's a couple things that I learned. One, every team now in the 32, in the 60, like every team that makes it is now good. There's very, very rarely a team that gets in that you're like, okay, they probably, when we were one or two divisions and we went to, you know, Branson and then we went out back to South Dakota, there's still a few teams that, you know, maybe won their league or got in because, and they just didn't have much of a chance on that opening round. But now anybody beats anybody and all these teams are good. All these teams are well coached. You get to the final 16. I mean, Billy, this is the most athletic Grace team I can say comfortably we've ever had in the history of Grace basketball. And we get out to Kansas City and we might be 9, 10, 11 of athletic teams out there. Like you gotta have guys and you gotta be prepared. So for us, just like any other team I think you've been talking to, is we're trying to do our best just to set ourselves up so that when we do need to go on the road in conference play to win a conference championship, like it gives us the opportunity to do that.
You know, because I'm looking ahead here. You know, in December you play Cornerstone. You play Cornerstone every year, right? Pretty much.
We did in the past. There was a little bit of break when I was here in college. We used to play all the time. Coach Elders is still coaching there. Obviously, he's a phenomenal basketball coach. He's been there for years. And Coach Kessler were big fans of each other. So I had plenty of competitions. Actually, Coach Albert at Indiana Tech and I battled it out a few times as players.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of got that thing back together last year, and that's been good for us. I like playing. They're a great program, and you know what you're going to get when you play them.
It's definitely going to be different playing them and not seeing Christian Rodriguez on the other side of the court.
Yeah, thank goodness. I thought he was supposed to graduate when I graduated.
Yeah.
He was a stud, man.
He had a phenomenal season. He was a great player, and he had a phenomenal.
Awesome.
And then you're gonna go out and play Arizona Christian as well.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
Let's play one of the top teams in the country at their place. So that was good. That's what, again, it's coach does a phenomenal job, and we're going out in the sunshine and we're going to play them in Park Gilbert. And, you know, it's an opportunity to be battle tested against a team that has been so successful and who's got a good opportunity to, you know, they're probably going to be preseason top two or three in the nation. But that's what we want to do. You know, we turn around, we get back, and we got to play Marion and Wesley and I think Bethel back-to-back-to-back, and then maybe even Huntington in January. So why not, right?
Well, it's almost time. I'm starting to get the jitters. I can't wait to get out there to Indiana for the Crossroads Cascade Classic. I can't wait to get out there for that.
We should just call it the Danny Miles Coach Kessler Classic. How about that?
Hey, you know what? I like that.
I haven't gotten over them ending my career in Branson. So eventually I'll get over it and talk to them, but I still got a few more years to pout.
Well, Scott, I really appreciate you taking the time. That's Scott Moore. He's head men's basketball coach at Grace College. Scott, thank you very, very much for giving me the time, and I can't wait to get out there and see you guys.
Thanks, man. Looking forward to it, and thanks for all you do.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Scott. Hey, thank you very much to Coach Scott Moore there at Grace College. The Lancers, they're going to be really good this season. Get out there. Get your season's tickets. I can't wait to get out to Indiana in November. We're going to play, Oregon Tech will play Indiana Wesley, and then we're going to drive down to Warsaw, spend a few days, and we're going to have that Cascade Hoops Talk Crossroads Cascade Classic, and it's going to be great. So if you're anywhere in that central Indiana area, get up to Warsaw, over to Winona Lake. You're going to see some great basketball. It's not going to break the bank. You're going to have plenty of money for popcorn because NAI basketball is the best entertainment value in America.